it can be really painful to think I've been portraying someone who's not even me. It can be painful to even think I don't even know who I am completely, because if I were to be completely myself, I don't know what the fuck that would look like. Oh, it's recording. I thought there'd be like a 3, 2, 1 countdown thing. Okay, friends, it's me. It's Jamie. It's a solo episode. If you hate my solo episodes, now is a time for you to pause this episode, go to the other like 6 podcasts that you're following and find a more interesting episode for you, because it's just going to be me today. So today I'm going to be talking about masking with ADHD. Masking, if you don't know what it means, is I'm going to paint a picture for you. Put a neurotypical and a neurodivergent person next to each other. Envision it. What does it look like? Well, the neurotypical person is probably standing there quietly. If they're around other people, they may have like a small like grin or just like a resting face. They're probably just able to, you know, just kind of stand there or maybe, I don't know, look around, just kind of be there, right? Okay, now envision the neurodivergent person, someone that has ADHD or autism, especially. Not especially autism, but like especially like ADHDers and autism are gonna, you know, look like the picture I'm gonna paint you. We have a hard time sitting still a lot of times, especially for those of us who have the hyperactive component of ADHD, which I do. I have the combined type. So for those who don't know, there's 3 types of ADHD. There is the inattentive type, the hyperactive type, and the combined type. And I happen to be the combined type. So anyway, somebody that has ADHD, if they're standing, they're likely rocking, maybe back and forth. They could be holding something in their hand. They could be holding a fidget, or I often find myself just like holding onto my clothes or have my hand in a fist, like in my pocket, so that I'm kind of getting that sensory feedback of just being able to squeeze my fist. They're maybe looking around more, especially if the environment is interesting or there's people or sounds or whatnot. They could be, you know, picking at their nails or maybe twirling their hair, and maybe not looking directly at the person they're talking to if they are talking to somebody. When we are in our like authentic, words are hard. Let me try to find them. When we stand confidently in our authentic selves, it's often going to look different than how we present when we are masking. When we are masking, what it means is that we are trying to appear as a neurotypical person. So that can mean trying really hard not to fidget. It could mean trying really hard to keep eye contact, possibly even thinking about, am I keeping eye contact right now? Am I not? Am I nodding? Am I, you know, maybe I need to exaggerate my smile to let them know I'm being receptive? Because a lot of us, I suspect that I have autism. I'm going to be seeking a formal diagnosis, but especially those of us with autism, we have, like, people have called it resting bitch face. But really, we can think something's hilarious on the inside, and on the outside, where it's just not being shown. If you're told to smile more, you may find yourself smiling in situations that you don't feel like you need to plaster a smile on your face. Like, we feel joy, and sometimes it's just not, it doesn't present the way a neurotypical does. So masking, in in essence, is when we try to appear as a neurotypical person. Now, before I get into, you know, the situations that this happens in, I want to break down why we do it, right? Because I am not here to bash masking. If anything, I'm here to bash the neurotypical standard that we live in that I think is absolute bullshit. Because if we like envision working in corporate America, right, especially if you're in an office setting, I don't know of many places that are like, hey, here, this office chair will work better for you. You know, you can spin in it or you can rock in it. And here are some fidget toys. And don't worry when you're on calls if you're not, you know, looking directly into the camera, because they're going to know that you're still paying attention if you're looking away. I mean, no. This isn't the bullshit standard of the world that we live in. It's made for brains that don't work like ours. It's made for bodies that don't work like ours. It's made for personalities that are not ours. So we find ourselves masking, not because we enjoy appearing like a neurotypical person, but because oftentimes we need the job or we are seeking acceptance. And oftentimes this is a trauma response too. So a lot of us that have, that are neurodivergent have had traumatic childhoods. And if you think back to childhood, and if you think of a time where you weren't paying attention or you were being too fidgety or you just could not finish your homework or yada, yada, in essence, you're being punished, yelled at, scolded, you know, grounded for oftentimes traits that were because you were neurodivergent. You weren't explained this as a kid. You were not told, hey, I understand you're having a hard time focusing right now because your executive function is, it's hard. It's really challenging for you. You have got amazing brain, but executive functioning is really hard. So guess what? We're going to do this task a little differently, and I'm going to be right here and I'm going to start it with you. And let's figure out a way to get this done in a way that's not so hard for you. And don't worry, we're going to stop and we're going to have movement breaks and just, you know, breaks so that you can engage in a task that you really enjoy so that you're getting enough dopamine to come back to the task that needs to get done. I mean, we weren't fucking told this as kids. We were told that we're being bad kids, that we need to focus more, that we need to just try harder, be more organized, quit being so fidgety, pay more better attention. And we've internalized that the only way to be accepted is to be neurotypical, to present as a neurotypical person. So I just want to normalize, one, if you're masking, this isn't me saying, oh my gosh, you're a terrible person for masking. Why don't you just embrace who you are? No, I understand exactly where the fuck it comes from. And I have had to mask many, many, many times in the past. I didn't even know masking was a term until, God, I don't know, maybe a year ago at the most. And I've been doing it my entire fucking life. It wasn't until knowing that I had ADHD about a year ago and extensively researching it that I realized, for one, how differently my brain works, and two, how a lot of my personality traits are attributed to being neurodivergent. I have a very, you know, a lot of us with ADHD and autism are described as like very quirky growing up, right? And sometimes it's said as an endearing trait. Other times it's kind of said as, other times they use words other than quirky. So anyway, I just want to first of all normalize if you find yourself masking, and once I describe masking in better detail, like if you find, hey, I do this when I'm with certain family members, I do this when I'm at my corporate job, I do this around my friends, I do this when I'm out in public, I don't want you to start shaming yourself for this. This is just so that you have awareness, for one, and two, so that you can give your younger self a big fucking hug that they never got, because you were perfect exactly the way you were as a child. You're fantastic, perfect, just the way you are now, even though you weren't told that as a kid growing up. So I want to be that voice in your head reminding you that your quote unquote quirks, your personality, it's fan fucking tastic, and I really enjoy it. I personally get bored to tears talking to a neurotypical person. I cannot fucking stand it. Like, Linda, I don't want to talk to you about the weather. I thought my computer died on me for a second. The screen just went blank. Like, Linda, I don't want to talk to you about the weather. I don't want to know. What are other boring things that neurotypical people talk about? It's been so long since I've talked to neurotypical people that it's like I am almost detached from what it's like to talk to one, because I kind of refuse bullshit in my life now. I only accept people in my very close inner circle who love and accept me for who I am and embrace who I am. And oftentimes those people end up being very similar to me in a lot of ways. I lost my train of thought. Oh yeah, boring neurotypical people. So I don't know about you, friend, but I don't want to talk about the weather. I don't want to do small talk. I don't want to, what are the boring things neurotypical people talk about? Oh, I guess things that are so surface level that I can't even think of them because my brain doesn't even go surface level, right? Like, when we connect with someone new, if we even meet someone new at the grocery store, I don't know about you, but oftentimes I'll be like, dude, I love your shirt. Like, where can I find a shirt just like that? I bet we would be really good friends. And that's a normal interaction for me. For a neurotypical person, they may do that, you know, grin and then keep walking. So anyway, we mask because we have needed to be accepted sometimes as kids. We need, and as adults, we've had to be accepted to shy away from emotional and physical abuse, especially if you're punished as a child for being neurodivergent, for your neurodivergent traits. So anyway, let's play the game, am I masking? let's think of corporate America for one. Let me ask you some questions. Let me know if it's yes or no. Do you find yourself thinking about how much eye contact you're having with somebody, whether it's on a Zoom call, whether it's in a meeting? Do you ever think about how much eye contact you're giving? Yes or no? Do you ever think about your tone of voice? Do you ever exaggerate your tone of voice to make sure that you appear enthusiastic or just engaged in what is being said, especially if it's boring, small talk, or things that don't interest you? Yes or no? Do you ever find yourself trying to hide that you're fidgeting, especially if you're in an uncomfortable chair? Do you find that you're trying to find ways to occupy your hands, whether that be to twist your rings around your fingers over and over and over again, whether it is to rub your hand on your leg while you're sitting in a meeting? Right now, as we speak, I have one hand clutching my arm. The other hand is grabbing my leg, and I didn't consciously do that. It's just something that I do. Oftentimes we need that sensory input to self-soothe our nervous systems, but it's hard to do that in a corporate job, right? Like, I'm sitting here cross-legged and I'm getting the input I need, the sensory stimulation I need. And when we don't get that in places like corporate America, or at a dinner party, fuck, do people have those? When I think of dinner parties, I think of like the most surface level conversations, and it makes me just want to cringe and cry. So anyway, if you find yourself doing those things, you could be masking. Do you find yourself saying things that are socially not accepted or frowned upon? or second guessing what you're about to say because you're worried that you're going to say something that's not accepted. Do you find that you think about what you're going to say extensively so that it can be received by other neurotypical people in a way that is intended? Sometimes when we have amazing neurodivergent brains, there is not a lot of space between thoughts and how we react. So when I am not medicated, the buffer between my thoughts and my words, it's almost non-existent. And if you are not currently medicated, you may find that you say things that are maybe not received well, whether somebody looks at you with, not a very receptive face, if they kind of dismiss what you say, and then you therefore feel out of shame and feel like you can't really be yourself, that there's something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. They're just fucking boring. So I just want to normalize that. So that's what it can look like, especially in the corporate world. If you are with friends, I'm going to say family because I'm going to hope that your friends are just super amazing, awesome people. And if they are neurotypical, then they're just like a super cool kind of neurotypical and they love and appreciate you for everything that you are. Like, I have a few neurotypical friends and they're fucking great. They love me for who I am. I'm going to hope that yours do too. And if not, it's time to do a friend audit. But if you're, say, in a situation with your family, you could find that you could be thinking about, say, your hyperfocus, but choosing not to talk about it because you're worried that you're going to be looked at like you're weird. Like, hey, if I word vomit everything that I learned about business in the last 2 weeks and tell them everything I've implemented and all the people that are reaching out to me and, you know, how to do lead generation, how to create graphics in Canva and yada make yada, they're going to be so bored. I don't want to do that. So instead you sit there, you either don't talk or you talk about, you know, socially acceptable things. Oh, hey, how are your kids doing? Good. Yeah. Mine are great. Thanks. And in an effort to be accepted because, your quote unquote quirkiness is not accepted. So that's what masking is. Now that we know where it originated, what it can look like, let's talk about how it affects you and your body, right? So when we mask and that's how we get through life, one thing happens for sure is that we start to believe that there's something actually wrong with us, that there's something actually wrong with our personality. I felt like this for a very, very long time. But back before I knew I had ADHD, and it's only until very recently that I strongly suspect autism, I thought that there was something incredibly wrong with me, because I would seek to have very, very deep conversations. I couldn't do small talk. I would say things that would be socially inappropriate and in an effort to connect with somebody because social norms are incredibly hard for me. And people were fucking mean about it. In school, I did not have a lot of friends, especially like K through 12. I remember eating lunch alone. People just saying that I was really weird. I didn't get invited to parties. I wasn't the cool kid in school. I was the weird kid that I had one close friend. Ooh, and I guess I forgot to put my phone on Do Not Disturb. How does this keep happening, people? So I wasn't the cool kid in school. And when I got home, if a teacher had called my parents, my mom understood me and she wouldn't be terribly hard on me for, you know, talking out of turn or, you know, getting up and having to use the restroom at a time that wasn't allocated to go to the bathroom, which teachers, can you please just let your kids go to the fucking bathroom when they need to go, especially those of us with ADHD and autism. It's our intrinsic, like, sensing is off. Like, we don't realize we have to go until we really have to go. So anyway, my mom was really great about not making me feel like a piece of shit person for being neurodivergent. My dad, on the other hand, very verbally abusive. And if I were to get in trouble at school, because the school doesn't say, oh, you know, you have a beautiful neurodivergent brain. I see you try really hard and you connect with people, but you were just really misunderstood. They say you're a terrible fucking student. And I would get punished for it from my I'm just going to call him Carl. I cannot call him my dad, but I'd be punished by Carl when I got home, you know, if he was home, because he wasn't very often. So I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry. My brain went on a spin. So in friend groups, we find that, you know, maybe, or family, that we're trying to portray that we are quote unquote normal. And it comes back to childhood. It comes back to biologically, like, we didn't evolve to be outcasts, right? Like, we, you know, thousands of years ago, we needed to rely on each other. So I believe there's something like biological going on when we mask, because we have to be accepted, right? To be part of the herd and to have people help us. But the thing is, you can have your people if you are neurodivergent. You can take small steps right now to bring the mask down. And if you're not ready to even take small steps, it's amazing that you are here right now taking the time to learn about yourself, to learn about, am I masking? It can be really painful to think, I've been portraying someone who's not even me. It can be painful to even think, I don't even know who I am completely, because if I were to be completely myself, I don't know what the fuck that would look like, because I've been trying so hard to mask. When I was working at I was a manager at a gym. Well, I wasn't just a manager. I ran the whole fucking place not nearly as much as I was worth. But anyway, I was running exercise sessions and doing sales calls and like literally every part of that damn gym, I did it. And the one owner, it was a brother and sister that owned the place. The one sister would say, like, smile, you look so angry. Like, smile, you look so angry. So what did I do? I smiled and I smiled and I smiled some more. I smiled so much that my fucking mouth hurt. I smiled so much that I had migraines when I went home. Not to mention, I was completely overstimulated every single day that I worked because they played music incredibly loud. The days that I had to work with the brother that was the owner, he didn't like to have music off ever. So even when we were between sessions, there was always music playing. There's always stimulation. There was not downtime. The downtime I spent talking to people, which is incredibly draining for me, especially neurotypical people. So of course, the second everybody left, there was a client, they would call it like my resting bitch face. I was so overstimulated. And my face does not naturally smile all the time. So if you find yourself, excuse me, having to mask for a long time at work, you may get a lot of headaches. That's one big thing. I'd been very prone to headaches my entire life. I had no idea that one of the reasons is because of this chronic masking. I had no idea that the reason that I have a bad headaches when I have, you know, like back-to-back Zoom meetings for God knows what fucking reason, or back when I worked a corporate job, was because I was masking. It's because I was working so hard to keep eye contact, to nod, I was constantly analyzing my voice. How am I being receptive? How am I being received? Am I nodding enough to show them that I care? Am I saying the little niceties that neurotypical people need? Whereas us neurodivergent people typically just get to the fucking point. There's a reason that there's not, like, our intro is like 9 seconds long, because we just we're people that get to the point. And we've been told our entire lives that's rude, that we need the niceties, that we need to have our face look a certain way, our voice be a certain way, to stand a certain way, to be attentive a certain way. When in reality, I can be sitting here coloring a picture in my adult coloring book, listening to you, and I'm actually attending a whole lot more than if I were to be trying really hard. Because if I were to just unmask and be who I am, I could just solely focus on the person that I'm talking to instead of constantly analyzing what I'm saying, how I'm saying it, and how I look. So that's a lot. We talked about why we mask, what masking can look like, different situations that we may mask. Now, if you're not in a place right now to even consider taking down the mask, I totally understand. If you're looking for a place to do baby steps, I will tell you this. You are more than welcome in my Facebook community. It's called Outsmart ADHD, a community for women with ADHD. I will try really hard to put the link to that in the show notes. That's one place where for sure you're not going to be attacked for being neurodivergent. It's actually celebrated there. Maggie and I also have a Facebook page called, or it's a group, sorry. I'm saying page, but I meant Facebook group. It's called, let me look it up just to make sure. Neurodivergent. And I can't remember the name because I have ADHD. Okay. It's called ADHD Entrepreneur Collective. And I will put a link to that in the show notes as well. So if you're needing a place to baby step it, come and just hang out with us. You don't even need to create a post. Just see what it's like to be around other neurodivergent people that love you and accept you for exactly who you are. It's a very liberating experience. The more that you're able to structure your the more that you're able to structure your lifestyle to be conducive to letting you just be who you are, it's kind of like a feedback loop. As we have more friends that love us for who we are, we can unmask a little bit more. If you're able to work a job that's remotely, you're able to mask a little bit more. If you're able to start your own business and, you know, only work for yourself or with somebody that you really enjoy, you're able to unmask and be more of yourself. When you create boundaries around family members that don't love and accept you for who you are, you're able to unmask even more to be even, to step into more of who you are. So I highly recommend, I encourage you to feel what it's like to be amongst other neurodivergent people who will not only accept who you are, but really embrace who you are and celebrate who you are, because nobody knows how fucking hard it is to mask than another neurodivergent person. And I personally want to hear about all of your hyperfocuses. I don't know if that's a word. I want to hear about every hyperfocus you have. I want you to know that you don't have to worry about stimming in front of me. You don't have to worry about not having enough flexion in your voice or your face. I want to let you know that you can color in your coloring book or work on your business while you're talking to me, and we don't have to make eye contact. And I love you and I accept you for exactly who you are. Okay, until next time, I think next episode is going to be a solo episode of just Maggie, and I will talk to you beautiful people soon. If you haven't yet, I would love if you would like and subscribe, give us a review, tell one person that you suspect or know is neurodivergent, send them this podcast episode, because I would love for there to be a movement of unmasking. Okay, I love you, beautiful people, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye!